Hello, everyone. Welcome back to On the Way Home podcast. This little thing I put together just to give me someone to talk to on my long drives and share some of my thoughts. Right now, I just want to share something. Okay, I probably haven't shared anything too much about this, but I've got to share it with someone. Basically, I have students that I've taken to this exam station, and there's this guy that, well, I got my license back in 2014. So I've seen him over the years, 8 years now, at least. And, you know, I've always thought of him just as an examiner. Over the last probably year or two, we've gotten a little more talkative with each other. A lot of my, you know, I take my students there, we test there, like it's not the way it was years ago when, you know, I gave them their training and then they went on and in their parents' car and took their test. So I literally take my students there. I got to know him quite a bit more. He is an older guy. Okay. And, his wife passed away last year in June. And so, you know, I was very compassionate toward him on that and was sorry and, you know, just kind of having those kind of conversations with him. And he was sharing some of the stuff that, you know, he was doing and, you know, and I would listen, just an ear for him to, you know, to be able to talk to. And, I don't know how long it's been now. Well, this actually started back, what was it? August. See, it was in April. Sometime in April. He asked me for my number out of nowhere. I was standing there and I always take my students out there and he always stands out there and talks to me for a good 5 to 10 minutes before, you know, he goes in and, you know, gets in the car with the student. So, you know, we were standing there talking all at once. I mean, I could tell the way he was, you know, my fear is always something that he may do. I don't know why. Just always had, you know, like, so I braced myself because I could tell something was about to be said. He kind of stood, you know, a little different. He just looked at me and in my head, I'm literally praying, oh God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood in the name of Jesus. Like I'm begging God right now for what is about to happen, what I think is about to happen, doesn't happen. Well, sure enough, it happened. And he asked me for my number. And so I did not feel like I had the power, strength, the option to say no. I've been friends with him all this time. We've had, you know, I've been very compassionate, kind, and, you know, it's just been really friendly conversations, things like that. Nothing that I meant anything more from. But in his mind, he believed he had someone that was also interested. So that was shocking. When this happened, the first day I was in shock. And I know, like, some people's like, this isn't that big of a deal, but it is a huge deal to me because this is a relationship that I have to keep until, you know, I'm taking students over, he's testing them. If people end up not liking me, they will fail my students because of me. They are revengeful. I don't trust people. So I did not feel like I had the option to say no. And so I just kind of, I didn't look happy. I didn't look mad. I just kind of gave him the look of surprise. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. And no matter the impression I give him, he still takes it his own way in his head. Anybody else would interpret it differently than he does. So I went ahead and I gave him a card. I said, yeah, I think I have a card. And I gave him a card and he says, I like your necklace. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. And I start talking about the crazy necklace. And then he goes on to say, you know, do you mind if I text you? And sure enough, that day he starts texting me. I mean, immediately. And I wouldn't respond at first because I didn't want that. I didn't want this. Okay. To me, he is a coworker. He is a part of my job, period. Never seen him that way. He is much, much older than me. He's awkward. He's not even somebody that we connect. There's not even a connection there. There's nothing there. but yet I've got to submit to this. So he ends up saying, I want to take you out to dinner while I was getting my number. And I went, oh, okay. And I just kind of thought maybe it was something like hypothetically speaking, or like, you know how people say someday in the future type thing, you know, you don't ever expect it really to come to fruition. You're just like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, no. Long story short, because I'm so far into it, I need to get like, I need to get catch you guys up with what's going on, because it's insane right now. When this happened, the first day I was in shock. The second day, I was so distracted. I was at a meeting at work and I was so distracted. I was so upset. I was hurt. I wanted to cry. I was being forced into something that I absolutely did not want to do, and I did not have the courage to say no. And I was afraid. I was just afraid. So finally, let me try to get progressed into the story. So when he asked me to go, okay, he had mentioned the whole going out to dinner thing. Well, the next day or so after that had happened, like a few days later, I had to go back to that exam station for another student. While I was there, it might even been for my daughter, actually. But while I was there, he was standing outside talking to me, and he asked me, he said, tomorrow I'm going to Columbus and I'll be driving by your house. Would you like to go with me to this antique show thing or whatever it was at the fairgrounds? And I said, oh, you know, I think my daughter has a track meet that day. She ended up not having one, but honestly, I didn't know for sure when I was standing here talking to the man. I just didn't know, but I didn't. I was in shock again, you know, just like, oh, you know, trying to get out of it, but also not offend him at the same time. He's very, the more I've gotten to know him, he's very, he has no problem, none whatsoever, asking you out. He has no problem sitting here in awkward situations waiting on you to, I mean, it's unreal, this man. So eventually, again, I'm trying to make a long story short because I'm so far into this now, but he ended up wanting me to go out to dinner with him. When he asked me, you know, I had gotten the strength from, you know, my manager. By then I had texted my manager, or had sent a message to my manager, that I was really upset. I didn't know what to do. I was hurt. You know, I feel violated. Honestly, throughout of all this, I feel violated, and I'm still stuck in this situation. He ends up wanting to take me out. He calls me, and I tell him, you know, I get strength from my daughters that tells me what to say, my manager that tells me what to say. So when I'm talking to him, I get the courage and I say, you know, I wouldn't want to go out to dinner with you and give you the wrong impression, because I don't feel that way. I just want to be friends. This man literally just sat there and paused forever. You're talking about feeling awkward. He was in shock. And I was in shock that he was in shock. I'm like, what the world is happening in my life right now? This individual is not in touch with reality. He's not. And it scares me a little bit. He's kind of, you know, I've been watching a lot of crazy stuff on TV. And when I see someone like him who is just not in touch with the reality that stands right before him, a person that really doesn't want him that way, yet he sees it that way no matter what. That's not being in touch with reality. That scares me. So I ended up going out to dinner with him. Got through that. I thought it would have been enough. No. Later on, he asked me to go again and see, where did we go? That would have been, we've gone out 3 times now. And a lot of texting. It's just kind of, it's been weird, you know, and I've been, on 4th of July, he asked to go to, if I'd come and, you know, want to come and see the fireworks with them. I don't know what it is, but I can't seem to get away from him. And, today he ended up, I said, hey, I'm going to stop by. He had, when he came to the fireworks, because what happened was, I was like, no, I said, actually, we're going to Asheville fireworks. You're welcome to come with us if you want. He ended up wanting to go, which we actually ended up having a decent time. My daughter went. Everything was really nice and normal. And so that was okay. But he ended up bringing a Tupperware bowl with watermelon in it. Well, today I wanted to drop his Tupperware bowl off, and I left it in his garage, and I had to go because I was getting a student, and so I just dropped it off and left, and I let him know, hey, I dropped your bowl off. And he said he was really disappointed that I left. He thought I was going to be there. I was like, well, you know, I've got students still. That's why I'm actually in Chillicothe. He didn't respond for a long time. So finally I said, well, how about you know, when I drop this, when I'm done with the student, I stop by. Oh, that made him happy. So I stopped by there this evening, and I'm telling you what, I had to go through his house. I had to go through his hobbies, which, you know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, you know, whatever. It's his hobbies. So he showed me all this stuff, and then ends up having to take me to the basement. That was, I said, oh, they're down, he wanted me to show these arrowheads that he collects, that he actually finds in the ground. And I said, oh, they're in the basement. He said, yeah, you know, he didn't think anything of it. But for me, on all the shows I've been watching, I literally bought mace today, if that tells you anything. Pepper spray. I'm sorry, it's not mace. It was pepper spray. And I don't know what I did with it, but I didn't take it in with me. So here I am at 8:30 at night. I'm over here at Tim's house, and I'm having to look at all this stuff. I'm in his basement, and it's very awkward. The whole time with Tim is very awkward because, you know, he wants me to stay there. He's like, oh, you know, you should we order, wants to order a Giovanni salad. In other words, he's wanting me to hang out with him. I want to get home. I said, no, Mike, it's almost 9 o'clock. I'm like, my kids are, you know, they're at home waiting on me, and they're probably wondering where their mom's at. And so I got out of there, but you could just tell that he gets so let down, and he covers it up, but he doesn't. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It's weird. I feel eerie about it. I'm praying, God, what's going on? He thinks, he texted me one time and said that him and his coworker see the chemistry between the two of us. I about died. And I write him back and I said, I don't feel that way. Any kind of, you know, what was it? I said the right words, but it was like any kind of, you know, energy that was there that seemed, you know, it was coming from you. I said, I just was being kind. And, you know, I'll say that stuff to him, and at first he'll get quiet and he'll have a good life. I remember one time he asked me to go to the movies with him. I said, you do know I have a boyfriend, right? And he says, no, I didn't know. And I said, well, you know, we're not there yet, but we're trying to, you know, that's kind of our goal. And that's what I'm hoping for. So he was awkward and, you know, like quiet, you know. Tells me to have, at the end, you know, sends me a next day, pretty much giving me a good life and let me move on. And then it wasn't a few days later. Hey, missed you. I mean, you know, it's just, it is a very awkward situation I'm in. I'm praying to God that the Lord has his hands on me and protects me and gets me out of this. You know, I've been through a lot this week. This week, something hit me that I felt so down and so hopeless. I can't even describe it. It felt like full-blown depression hit me, and it was a spirit that hit me. I'm telling you, it was out of nowhere. My mom asked me, because I kind of shared a little today that I needed her to pray about it, and she said, she gave me reasons that it could be, and I said, no, it's none of these things. It's just something that hit me, and I felt like the world has no hope. I feel like we're just all, like, the economy's awful. You know, the White House is awful. Politics are awful. I can't see God in these things. I know God loves me, and I know he takes care of me, and I know he's with me, but I want a husband. I want to move into a marriage and a family. And that is like, the enemy's like, you'll never have that. Your children will never have that. And I'm like, that's not the word of God. That is not the word of God. And I believed that every generational curse was removed off my children. And I will not sit back and let the enemy steal these blessings from us. And, you know, he's caused me to sit there and think, you know, everything's been questioned about, you know, Brian and all that situation. It's all questioned. And I'm like, why is it being questioned? I know what I heard from God. I know what I felt. And then you start to think, well, maybe you were just high on, you know, euphoria? Is that what it's called? Or like, you know, you're in, it's infatuation. You're at that moment where it's high. It's, oh, maybe you're just thinking, but I was so close to God. I was hearing from God. Right now, I'm struggling to hear from God. I feel like all hell is breaking loose against me and against my child. against my home. And I need God to move. I need a miracle in my home right now, Lord. It is important for me to have a husband. It is important for me to have a family. It is important that my children have husbands and have children. That is a blessing, and that is what I'm praying out to God for. I feel left. I feel alone in the world. I feel like we're all, like all the women in my family, you know, we're just single women. There's no foundation. There's no family. There's no man. Where's the men? Then, you know, I watch these shows where men kill women, and I watch all this garbage that I've been watching, and I'm telling you what, it is awful. I have just, because I've been depressed, I've watched death being killed on TV all weekend long. And I guess this is just a confession right now, because I have needed help. I went to church on Sunday. That felt really good, of course, but it's just been, you know, it's been a lot of discouragement. It's been a lot of me not knowing what I'm even destined to do, what I'm supposed to do, what am I doing with my life? Like, everything is blowing up in my face, and then I've got this situation with Tim that I can't get out of. I don't know what to do. And people can have their answers on the outside, but I'm entangled in this thing with him. I don't expect Brian to rescue me, but I expect God to. I expect God to. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but I am making it known that I do not feel safe. I do feel violated. And sometimes it's just, you know, innocent conversations. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it doesn't feel too invasive or overwhelming or pushy. Sometimes it feels okay. It's like, oh, you know, because I was a friend with a lot of older men, you know. But it's his desire for me. It's something is off big time. Like, it's scary. I don't trust him. I don't trust him because he don't even know himself. Like, he's not someone who... He's too needy. He's too... I don't know how to explain someone like this, because they just don't have... It's shallow. You know, it's weird. I don't know how to explain it. But... I just wanted to share that with you guys. And, you know, when I'm like this, I'm not articulate. I'm not, you know, I don't have big fancy words, which I do love words. And I love learning them if I can retain it. But I think that I have to talk this way to get through it. You know, I know God is my refuge. I have depended on him all the way through this. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm doing. I just did not want to end up in his basement tonight. I did not want that. Well, that's a lot to say about it, but it's been a long journey, you know, and it kind of happened right there. Right there when I got to talking with Brian and stuff, so... But anyways, that's my story tonight. I love you all. Thank you for listening. Anybody who listens and actually cares and is a good person, thank you. Thank you for being a good person. You are cherished. Good people are cherished. They're far and in between. There's a world full of evil, a world full of, you know, takers and selfishness and manipulators. Envy and strife. I mean, it's everywhere. So if you're a good person, you are cherished. And may God bless you today. Until we talk again, I'll see you soon.